It's Manson Mitchell on the Weekend with Gary Manson, Suzanne Mitchell. A double shot of good conversation with great guests to power up your day. Manson Mitchell, you're on the air.
A happy Saturday, April the 13th to everyone. And this is Matt Shea welcoming everyone to the Manson Mitchell Show. Today is a very special day. It's Suzanne Mitchell's birthday. 39 forever and ever. The girl who will always be carded, but I don't think it bothers her. And we are so happy and honored that we could step in as a birthday gift, a birthday celebration, so to say. Nathan, how are you today? You're my good hands man, the Allstate man. How are you,
friend?
I am
doing excellent. Matt, great to have you here in the studio today. Of course, it's a little bit gray out there, but hey, spring is coming up, and I couldn't be happier to get outside and enjoy the nice weather coming up.
It's a mixture. Believe it or not, I will go fishing at 1 or 2 in the morning in my neighborhood and see all the stars. I've seen the Tulip Festival up in the Skagit Valley. It's beautiful out there.
Well, being a fisherman yourself, you might like the rainy weather too, because I've heard that rainy weather helps draw the fish closer to the surface and you get more bites that way.
Whenever you are fishing and it starts to rain, referring to salt water, the salmon head inland. So, yes, that is true. But anyway, we have got quite a show today. Upon popular demand, popular request, once again, we got Skip and Sean Langang from the Psychic Spectrum radio show. And we're going to have a fun twist today. We're not only going to discuss one of their many ghost hunts, but we're going to talk about the surprising after effects which are known to happen as a result of having been on a ghost hunt. And only Skip and Sharon could explain this well and also give some advice and some warning on the topic. Skip and Sharon, I'm looking right at you. Very happy to have you with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Matt. Thanks a lot. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
We enjoy standing in for Gary and Suzanne with you and talking about things and letting people know what we do and helping to educate them.
Actually, I'm sitting. I'm not standing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm not standing in. I'm sitting in.
I had to force myself, but I'm sitting.
Also, happy birthday, Suzanne. I know you're 39. Yes. I am too, and I'm going to stay that way. Whenever you're ready, Matt, I can tell you something about a personal year she has coming up because of her birthday.
Go for it.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's preface this. Tell everybody listening that this is the numerology for her birth.
Yes. And since her birthday's today, April 13th, a personal year is when you add the birth date and the which would include the month and the day plus the year we're in this year, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you add all that together, you get a 7. And a 7 is a very spiritual number. So that's telling me that she's going into a more spiritual period than what she was prior. She'll be doing a lot of things alone. She might take classes, read books, go to seminars, talk to people, you know, get readings, whatever. But she's going to be doing it in search for more spirituality information, if that makes sense. And it's also going to be done alone. Most people that are a 7 do really well alone. Most authors that like to be alone when they write, you know, that kind of thing. So 7 is when she'll find most of her power. Whenever she has a 7 day or she's working in the 7th hour or 7 o'clock, she's going to have a lot more power than she would have otherwise.
I like that. And personally, I see a fountain of youth in the making here. Fountain of youth forever and ever. Mm-hmm. I love it. Once again, happy birthday, Suzanne.
Yeah. Well, let me finish up by saying that the world number this year, 2024, is an 8. And so when you have everything combined, because she has 4/13, 2024, that comes up to, she has 2 4s and then the 8, so that's really 2 8s, right? So you put them together, and 8s is all, the number 8 itself is all about balancing abundance and spirituality. So this year is going to be a big year for her personally, one-on-one with herself, about balancing abundance and spirituality.
Sounds wonderful.
It does. I think it'll be a great year.
Not too long ago, a group of us went to the Oxford Saloon in Snohomish, And I believe that did constitute as a ghost hunt, so to say, because it seems everybody was picking up on stuff. But it went a step further. We not only had people there who worked as servers, bartenders, we had customers stand in line because they recognized the Psychic Spectrum team. And there were a few that talked about having something attached to them. What do you two have to say about that?
I'm going to let you start.
Well, I don't like the word attached, but I know what you mean by it. But if you're not in the white light, we never do anything in this business without putting ourselves in the white light. And by doing that, I mean, you just visually and mentally think about yourself being covered in Christ's white light, because we call ourselves Christian psychics. We don't do the dark stuff, you know. So if they don't have themselves in the white light, when they go through haunted places or go and watch scary movies or any of that stuff, the negative side of things can, lack of a better word, attached to you, and it can bring on some things to happen that maybe wouldn't happen if you hadn't had that experience. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It does, because we've discussed this before. Off the top of your head, do you have any past ghost hunts you've had that had some aftermath to it?
Well,
yeah. Whoops.
Yeah,
that's the one I was going to talk about.
I want to talk about
cemetery in Kent.
Yeah, with the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that was what I was going to bring up. Yeah. It must be psychic. After 49 years together, I guess that's what happened. The very first time that we had to deal with something like that, we took a group of
It was 40 people.
40 people.
That was our biggest ghost hunt.
We took a group of 40 people to a cemetery in Kent. Mm-hmm. And there was this is one reason why we're very selective on the age. People 15 and under, definitely not allowed to go on a ghost hunt without prior permission from us.
And 15 has to be with a parent.
With parent, yes. Yeah. But this lady showed up and she brought her daughter, and her daughter brought two of her boy friends with her. And the daughter was, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, before we go into a ghost hunt, whoever attends with us, we all form a circle, we hold hands, and we say a protection prayer.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, this girl and her two friends thought it was funny. They laughed, and they let go of the other's hands, and they were just kind of goofing around. Didn't take it serious at all. Mm-hmm. But that was our white light and protection prayer. So we went into the cemetery, we did the ghost hunt, and everything was great. And as we walk out, we always do another prayer of protection to release whatever was we found or found us on our ghost hunt, and protect us and leave them where they are.
Yeah, they have to stay there.
And so these girls, were doing this prayer, and apparently whatever had, I'll use lack of the better word, yeah, attached or decided to hang around her, it didn't like what we were doing and setting them free or back into where they were supposed to be. And so this girl was visibly shaken. She was shaking.
She was freaking out.
She was crying. And these guys were like, hands off. They backed away from the boys. It was like, oh God, what do we do? And they were scared. So we realized this. So Sharon and another lady
there's two other people and me.
Took her and talked to her and calmed her down, brought her off of it, put her back in the white light and protected, and whatever was attaching to her or hanging around her, bothering her, was released or let go.
Yeah, we had to cleanse her.
Yeah, and
which
so
is what we did with the white light. We put the white light through her and around her, right, and said whatever was not from the white side had to go.
And that
worked.
That was the place where we saw Ted Bundy that night.
Yeah.
After he was executed, and there was 40, I think it was actually 42 people, if I remember, but that's how many people saw this.
Yeah, we all saw
Ted Bundy. dressed like him, had the briefcase, everything. And
which was weird. I don't know why he was carrying that briefcase.
Maybe he identified with it.
That could be. Yeah, could be.
But anyhow, 40 people, over 40 people saw that.
Yeah, but the weird part was that's when we were getting ready to leave. We had done yes. the prayer, and we were leaving, and nobody knows but who was there. But, I mean, imagine a street. The cemetery's on one side, and on the other side is just, you know, brush and foliage and a sidewalk with a curve where you can get off 167 and come over to this street, right? So that he was standing across the street right where that curve was, mm-hmm. just looking at us. I'll never forget it. I can tell you what he had on. I can tell you what it looked like. But anyway, so when we saw him, Skip took his flashlight. You know, he had one of those big long.
It was a big 5-cell police flashlight, yeah. The big black ones.
And he flashed it over there to him. And as he went up the body, he got to the face and there wasn't one. You know, it was just nothing.
Yeah.
And he said to everybody, because he didn't want to freak everybody out, and I wasn't aware really what was going on yet. I was kind of in awe of just mm-hmm. seeing him, you know, because I was scared to death. And so he says, get in the car now. And we all didn't question it. We all just got in our cars. And
all 40 people.
And we left. Yeah. And he was just looking. There was no expression. He just stood there with his briefcase and his right hand down at his side. And just looked at us, you know, in a very ominous way. And as we drove past him, it was scary. He really is evil.
I would like to say something about a briefcase. Years ago, a friend of mine, a mom, she was having troubles with a guy she used to see, and it turned out he was under the category of a registered sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
And the police drew a composite, so it's the outline of a person minus the face. Mm-hmm. He had a lean, and he was carrying a briefcase. And she says, yes, how did you know that? And they asked, did you ever open it up and find nothing in it? All there is a couple blank sheets of paper, a number 2 lead pencil, and that was it. For whatever reason, this type of predator carries a briefcase.
A briefcase. Isn't that amazing?
It doesn't mean everybody out there with the briefcase, but that sector, it's common. They look for that.
That is amazing. That was the same ghost hunt that when we were in there, for some, you know, I always try to keep an eye on where everybody is and stuff. And these girls again, you know, the guy mm-hmm. and the girl, they were walking along this kind of blackberry bush area. We all knew something happened in there. I don't know whether that's where Ted Bundy might have done something. I can't say. That's my opinion.
Well, supposedly they found bodies there.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's associated with Ted Bundy. But as they were walking, I noticed this guy, this real tall guy behind them that I didn't remember coming in with the group. And he had a cowboy hat and the kind of coat, you know, cowboys wore with the slit in the back of the coat with the rain slicker, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I thought, who the heck is he? And we went on through the thing, and when I count them as they all come out to make sure one in comes out, and he wasn't part of the group. And he was a ghost. He was just following them around.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that might be the one that. But, you know, we just sloughed him off, and he had to stay there.
But that was just the first one that we ever had that experience with.
Yeah.
We had several others. One to me.
Yes.
Happened to me.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, ghost hunts are pretty tame, really.
They are.
You know, they are. If you protect yourself and you know what you're doing, it's a tame thing to do. But there are those instances where, as I have always said, when you talk to people on the other side, they're in complete control.
Right.
We aren't, you know. All we can do is protect ourselves and hope, you know, hope they can't get through it.
Which is why we don't leave the protection up to the people.
Yeah.
We do it with them or for them and around them and everything.
Yeah.
So
years
but even
back,
at that cost.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, I was going to say, but even doing that, they can get through it in a way because you got hurt on one. You know?
We want to talk about that in a few minutes here, but I'll leave this up to you. You were going to say something.
Years ago, there were a group of us sharing a place, and someone had mentioned that they thought somebody was possessed. And, oh, come on, you know, knock it off. Quit saying that thing. But anyway, when I peeked in their room, I saw things such as lights swirling around, icy cold, and they were talking to whatever that wasn't present as if they were in a trance. This had happened several times, and I yelled, and my voice could really carry. I could stop a city street if I want to. It dawned on me that nobody in the household could hear this voice of mine, as if it was contained just there between us, myself, the person I knew, and whatever was going on there. And so when this happened like the third time, I wasn't scared. I was angry that a friend was being attacked or whatever, because I don't know what's going on, but it's definitely something spiritual, something wrong. And I yelled, I challenge you to attack me instead. At that split second, everything stopped. And a few days later, things started happening in my room. And I talked to someone later, and they said, Matt, you never invite, you never challenge. You try to separate.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You are lucky.
Yeah, you are.
That you didn't have something really bad happen. I don't think you did. You didn't, did you?
It would torment me on occasion. And then you have the willies at this point. Like, am I going to see it again? What's going to happen? Yeah. But anyway, it went from one room to my room upon my challenge. It took me up on that challenge.
Wow. And then it will.
I met people of your knowledge, and they explained some rules of the road to me, and I never made that mistake a second time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, if people don't know what they're doing with ghost hunts or anything like that, I guess just have to say that they need to understand and learn this is not a game. It's not some fun and games. It's something very, very serious. And if you do it right, you can be protected, which, and this is a plug, but I got to say this for what we were talking about, which is why we decided to write our book. It's called We Hear and Speak to Dead People. It's available through our website, psychicspectrum.com. But the first half of the book talks about how to do ghost hunts right and why. And then the second half of the book has examples of the ghost hunts. And in each book, we also include the recordings of the ghost voices that we captured on tapes, on a recorder, so people can hear what the ghost said that they just read about. So we want to educate people that this is not a fun and games thing. This is very serious. Let's do the next one. Let's do this. We'll save the good one for last.
Good one. Okay.
We were at a cemetery and we're walking around. It's like maybe midnight, 11:30 at midnight. And there was this little section in the middle of the cemetery that was protected by, and this was an old cemetery, but it was protected by a little wall of railroad ties around it. And it was a family plot. Well,
it's not a wall, just a frame.
Yeah, frame. That's a better one. And so anyhow, I'm standing there and I walk across this thing, you know, across the grave to get to the other side. And Sharon follows me, and all of a sudden I hear her scream a little bit. And
I didn't scream. I screamed. I went...
Well, no, you did a little more than that.
Okay, but not screen.
I heard her do that, and I turn around and look, and her foot is in the grave. It's down, stuck in a grave, up beyond her ankle.
It wasn't stuck very long, boy. I pulled the baby out.
But she had stepped on the wooden casket had rotted.
I guess.
And this was an old cemetery.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that happened, and then that same night,
all I could see was a bony hand coming up and taking my foot. That's all I could see.
That same night, we're walking in around near that area again, and she says, I thought she was going to fall over.
Yeah.
But she felt like someone or something walked through her.
Yeah, it did. It took my balance totally away.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether I was up, down, or right, or left. It was weird, but it was just something that just was there and then gone. It's like it walked through you, you know?
Well, and I always tried to figure out, was someone trying to take possession of her body or not?
I don't know.
I don't think so, but because we were protected by the process that we do, but it was just something that it was I thought it was coincidental, but it was funny, and it was kind of odd all at the same time.
It was funny because it happened to me.
She stepped into a grave, right? Yeah. And then she had something walk through her.
Yeah.
And so...
You see, God takes care of fools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. It's like people just need to take this serious.
Well, yeah, if you go in like teenage, you know how teenagers are going to a cemetery and that? I mean, you know, kids.
Yes, thinking it's, they, we used to do that.
Yeah, they are messing. And I, you know, I never did it because I'm a chicken. But kids are messing with stuff they don't know what they're messing with. And, you know, you are very lucky if you come out of there without some negative entity coming with you.
Yeah, you know? That's for sure. Yeah.
Something you two taught me, and since you've introduced this concept to me, a lot of people added to it, and that is that the land itself is where the spirit could be. Let's use the word haunted, whatever. So whatever is placed there, it was the land, not the structure. And where I'm going with this is that I knew someone who had a devout faith, but it was not Native American. And what happened was when he would get into intense meditation and prayer, he would hear unmistakable a Native American chanting outside of his bedroom at night, but it was loud, and it finally dawned on him that the household couldn't hear it, just him. Well, he determined to do what he was doing because this seemed to be a warning or maybe a hex. And what happened is that whatever grabbed him and got him into a wrestling hold and pinned him down harshly where he couldn't move. Yep. It was now physical because it seemed that he was not obeying the Native American. He was bringing his own concept, and whose territory is this?
It happens. It can happen.
Well, you know, along those lines, Matt, when we were, oh God, when did we move to South El Puyallup?
1981.
We had a house built in this brand new development. And they found a, well, let me back up. I was living there. We found out like a year, the first year, over half of the couples got a divorce, and the other half, the men died. And then we found out that they had, when they were digging our foundation out, they found a skull. And so we talked to the guy that was the head of the whole thing later on, and he said, yeah, we found a skull. And I says, well, why didn't you say something? He says, because at the time, if we did, we were only the second people in the development, and so the development would have been shut down, and they'd have lost all their money on it, the people that were developing it.
Well, they said it would have been shot down, and it would have been considered a burial ground,
And it was an ancient Puyallup tribal burial ground.
Yeah.
The whole development.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of weird, but when you talked about Native American and disturbing them.
Skip, what about your son's playmate who you thought was an imaginary friend?
Oh, Jerome?
Yeah. He later on told us that this person's name was Jerome that he was playing with.
Yeah, it was a little Indian child, but we didn't know that at the time.
And our son never crawled out of his crib.
Yeah.
He'd wake up and he'd sit there.
And say, Mama, I'm ready to get up. And I'd go, okay.
And she'd lay there. And then when she got up, he'd be talking to somebody and doing something. And found out that he called him Jerome.
Well, but Jerome was a little kid. This was a different instance.
Right. There was another one with the same
period. Is why he never got out of the crib because it was an Indian chief.
Indian
that
chief.
That played with him.
He had
in
two
the
of
crib.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. See, now the Indian spirits liked me. They didn't like Skip.
Yeah. Broke my ankles twice.
So the Indians
at that
helped
house.
Me because no one knew at that time that I had narcolepsy and sleep apnea. So I was very tired.
Yeah.
So the Indian chief just kept him occupied so I could get a couple more winks.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I know we have a lot of stories left. Here we go again. It goes so quick with you two. But anyway, this is Matt Shea for the Matts and Mitchell Show. We're going to break for some commercials now. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Anson Williams from Happy Days, and I'm so excited to tell you about American Road. It is the best car travel magazine in the world. They have the most fantastic adventures detailed in each magazine with all your itinerary. We could just jump in the car with your family and have the most fabulous adventures you've ever had in your life. Please, get a copy of American Road and start your own adventure.
staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/Mance and Mitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is manceandmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Terry Loving wants to help you with your online marketing challenges right now. She has several courses she is giving away to help you get your business working for you online. Yes, giving away. WordPress websites are her specialty, yet her technical skills go way beyond that. Check out her blog at terryloving.com or email her directly at terry@terryloving.com. That's terry@terryloving.com.
On Friday, Mance and Mitchell welcomed Jeffrey Mark, the walking encyclopedia of Hollywood, with his revelations of how smash hits on Broadway were successfully recreated for the silver screen.
On Saturday, Nicole Strickland, Marie D. Jones, and Denise Agnew discuss Women on the Fringe, their book about the challenges that women face in the field of paranormal research.
Bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Mance and Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Mance and Mitchell Show. This is Matt Shea filling in for Gary and Suzanne. And we are so honored to once again have the Psychic Spectrum couple with us, Skip and Charon Lange. Skip and Charon, how can the audience reach out to you?
Well, easiest way is our website. It's www.psychicspectrum.com. All of our events are there. We do over 17 events a month that people can partake in. And a lot of them you can do from home, but just by joining us online, because every single one of those events except one is broadcast live on while we're live online and in person where we are. So you can join in by coming to the event or by just tuning in at home on your computer, your phone, your tablet, wherever you are. But thanks. We needed to say that, and that's good. We got that out.
We'll do it again at the bottom of the hour. Skip, we were talking about the adventures you have on your ghost hunts, the precautionary measures you take, the respect you show, and some surprising after effects that have been known to happen. I believe you have another story to share with us.
Okay. This is our story we want, that Charon wanted to tell today.
Yeah, I wanted you to tell.
And it involves a place called Fort Worden, W-O-R-D-E-N, in Fort Worden in Washington State. It's an old military fort, an old army fort that's on the coastline. And it was given to, just like all the other military forts on the coastline, the old ones, they gave it to the states. And so the state of Washington now owns Fort Worden. I, being an ex-state employee, I retired. But when I worked there, I was tasked with a huge project at Fort Worden. And with my many visits to Fort Worden, I found out by accident all the history of it, the haunted history. And then I started finding about the haunted history of the other forts that were in our care. So anyhow, I decided that at Fort Worden that I needed to go there for a ghost hunt. And it just so happens that at this fort, they contracted out the care, the upkeep, and the use of the buildings. And where in other words, like the dormitories where the men slept, and their hospitals and things like that. And so I formed a little ghost hunt, and I made reservations, and we slept in the captain's, or not captain's, yes, sorry, the officer's quarters. So starting out, there was probably, I think there was 20 some people that went on that one with us, but it just, on the way up, we started out from home here in Federal Way, heading towards Fort Worden, which is way up there. And what is it?
Port Townsend?
Port Townsend, yeah.
I think it's Port Townsend.
And so anyhow, on the way up, my wife said that I was, afterwards, she said that I was driving weird. I was acting weird.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done any protection stuff yet because we weren't there. I didn't think I needed to.
Yeah. You were acting like somebody that had a blood sugar thing. You were just driving.
Yeah.
Wobbly and not making sense.
We got there and we went and checked in. We set up. We decided we're all going to go get dinner. So the whole party went out for dinner. We went for pizza. I just had a new car, and for some reason, well, I know the reason, but up there, their curbs are twice the height of a normal curb in Seattle or Tacoma. And the reason why is because of all the rain and the flooding. So downtown is where I did this. I drove up on this curb to get into a parking spot, which I didn't need to do. I didn't need to drive on the curb. I drove up on the curb. And my car got high centered. It got stuck. Okay. So we go to this place. The place was, we didn't eat there. We went somewhere else.
Yeah. We went to another place because they were full.
Yeah. And so anyhow, some of the guys with us had to push my car and they got it off of the curb and I backed. I'm like, I couldn't understand what was going on. So we go back to the hotel or the officer's quarters.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting around in the front room, have recorders on, tape recorders, and we're talking and we're asking the ghosts questions, and which they answer. And so when we record it, we get their answers. It's really funny because it's a form of energy, and that's how they communicate with us on those kind of things. So anyhow, one of the girls said something about, I joked and I said, well, I'm going to send the ghost to your room tonight. And she says, oh, great. She says, I'm going to send him right up to you. And I said, bring it.
Yeah, which he never says.
In a challenging way. I said, bring it.
And what did I say? I yelled out, no!
And I don't know why I did this. But anyhow, I go to sleep. Her and I are sleeping. Middle of the night. There's other things. Other people. Two of the people got up and went home. The girl that said, I'm going to send him to your room.
Yeah.
They went home in the middle of the night because they couldn't handle what was going on. Another lady was laying on the couch down in the living quarters area, and the blanket kept getting pulled off of her all night long. And so finally she said, leave me alone. And they stopped. So she finally got some sleep. So anyhow, we're sleeping.
Yeah, I slept through the night.
After we ate dinner, we got back, did all that. I was fine. When we went to bed, all of a sudden, I was so sick, I thought I was going to need to go to the hospital. So I had to go to the bathroom because I had problems there. Okay. So my path to the bathroom was on my side of the bed. It was maybe 3 feet to the door, which was open, and then another 4 feet to the toilet. And I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And there was no obstacles in the way, just a straight shot.
Yeah. And it was dark. Okay. And one time about the sixth or seventh time, I get up and I take a step and it was like, oh, and my foot just hurt. And I did that. I said, oh,
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
So anyhow, I go to the bathroom. I come back. I lay down.
You were dizzy too.
I was dizzy all this time. It was hard to
keep your balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now you got to help me with some of the details because I can't remember all the details. So anyhow, I get back to bed. Did I tell you my foot hurt then?
No, I didn't even know you got up and down. I was asleep.
You were out, yeah.
Because I said, don't bother me when I'm sleeping.
So we leave the place. We check out. We all agree to go to a certain restaurant for breakfast. And I'm there, and my foot is just killing me. It hurts so bad. And it felt like somebody had dropped something really heavy on my foot. So we get back to Seattle, and I told her at that time and everything else. We get back to Seattle. I had to go to the doctor.
The foot doctor.
Foot doctor. So I go to the doctor, and he looks at it. And
he took an x-ray.
Took an x-ray, and he looks at it. He says, it looks like you, like somebody stomped on your foot with a military boot.
Which we hadn't told him anything about where we'd been or anything.
Nothing.
No.
And it was
bruised. I looked at Skip and he looked at me and we just kind of smiled. We didn't tell him then either.
It was bruised. I mean, it was green.
It was broke.
And yeah, it was broke. It broke my foot, yeah, but it was just green.
Yeah.
And I did nothing. I didn't. You can't hit a foot that hard.
We couldn't stomp on it like that.
On a wall or anything. No, I couldn't stomp on my own foot like that.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, I wore a walking cast for quite a while.
Yeah. Full of boot. Yeah.
A boot,
and,
yeah.
And it was weird because I told him not to bother me because my sleep is precious, right? And I said, don't bother me. So what they did instead, they gave me a pink eye in the right eye.
Yeah, she got pink
eye. I came home with pink eye.
But
that's okay. I handled that. That's all right.
But the weird thing, even though we did the protection, I challenged what I was. I didn't know I was directly challenging that ghost or any ghost. I was just serious. I said, bring it, because I know I can handle it. I've always been able to handle those kind of things.
Now, let's go forward.
Okay.
Okay. So we listened to our tape recorders that we had, right? Mm-hmm. And all this was on tape where she said, I'm going to send him to your room. And he went, bring it on, whatever. On the tape, when he says, bring it on, we hear a voice that says, oh, we're already past that.
Yeah.
And so they had made plans already of what they were going to do to him later on, you know. But that was kind of weird.
Yeah. And then on the way home, driving home, I still acted kind of weird. And it took like a day or two for this to stop.
Yeah. Now, I will not say he was possessed.
Right.
I don't believe anything entered in his body and became him. But he definitely had somebody messing
interaction
with him. Interaction, yeah, messing with him.
And
even though we put our, well, and that's another thing. When we got to that place, we always do a protection prayer before we go in.
Right.
And I called him. He was out doing something kind of far away from me. And I says, come on, come over here. We have to do the protection prayer. He says, nah, we don't have to. And that was the first time we never did it. And look what happened.
Yeah.
So we will never do that again either.
But it came and was messing. I won't say it was a possession, but it was kind of attached with me.
Yeah, it was.
And it was messing with me all the time. We were driving up there, and it was what? It's an hour drive.
Yeah. I don't, you know, it wasn't the one driving. I think it was messing with your mind.
My mind. And, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really weird. And it was my first time with something that deep.
Yeah.
That heavy. I mean, I've had lots of ghosts talk to me or whatever.
I will never, ever stay in officer's quarters again.
No.
And I think it was medical because on the tape also, we heard a woman's voice say, take your pants off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a nurse would say if she was getting ready to do some kind of examination or something. Or visiting the doctor.
I'd like to share a story with you two. I knew this wonderful couple, laid back, regular people. And they went to church quite a bit, not meaning that they're better than other people, but they had values. And like myself, this husband had a drinking problem at one time. And his mother and wife could pick up on it really quick. So there he is, drinking alcohol, swearing up and down, swearing to the heavens, he gave up alcohol. No, you don't got to worry about me. He put the drink down, went outside, turned on the garden hose to spray the bushes. He told the same story his wife did. That hose, running full blast, leaped out of his hand in a human fashion, turned around, slapped him across the face, and then laid itself perfectly back in his hand again. And that got his attention.
I would think
so. And so he turned it off, and he walked through the back door entryway by the back deck, his legs locked, and now he's walking like a mechanical robot. Kind of like the Tin Man when it tried to walk the first time.
Yeah.
He made his way to the kitchen. He's fighting his hands because he doesn't know what's going on. It opened a cupboard. His head was pushed in. It swung, and it put a scar on his cheek. Something came back physically.
Yeah.
After him contradicting himself at that level.
Yep.
It was,
Yeah.
And see, that example that you just said, and the examples we've been explaining, those are part of what we could call possession, but it's not it's actual possession. It's more attachment.
I think attachment
and
more so
messing
than
with you yeah. and doing things. Possession is when.
Although I think that guy had some possession because it affected his legs and
right
and hands and everything. Yours was more mind and
right.
Somehow and, they hurt you, but you didn't do anything to get hurt.
And people have asked us, Matt. They say, what is possession? Have you ever been possessed? And why don't you channel and do this and that? We don't believe in channeling because it's part of the reason why we don't. I'll just say this way, is the Bible says you do not give up control of your body to a spirit. Mm-hmm. It says that.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't do it because I've seen too many people do it and it's not comfortable. They're not there. They're not part of it. If they've given up control and they can make them do things, they can control them, what they say and how they act. And it's like, we just don't go there. We'll talk to dead people, but we don't channel. We don't give up control. They, just like us, we're sitting here talking. They talk with us and we relay the messages when we do our the medium work for people. Or when we, like on the first Saturday of the month, we do the group talking to the other side. And there's usually 25 people there. And we do two sessions, afternoon and evening. But we'll never, ever do the channeling. I won't have a speaker come and talk at the Psychic Showcase on a Wednesday that wants to talk about channeling. If they want to do it, that's fine. But we're not bringing that subject to the Psychic Spectrum, Psychic Showcase. So
not so much a subject, but the energy.
Right, the energy of it. We just don't want it around us because we've experienced too much and we know too much and we want to be careful with it.
And I have known people who say that they channel, and to me, they no longer are in control of what they say or think or do.
Yeah.
It's what that other person wants them to do.
We've seen it.
We're not going to go there.
We have seen it repeatedly.
Yeah.
What I really have a focus on is that this so often is a territorial thing where this entity you're dealing with, they dwell in that space. And if you mm-hmm. leave that space, they still dwell there unless they could attach to you, correct?
Yes.
Now, here's a story.
Yeah, that's about right.
Do you recall when we went to the Village Tap House and Grill? We went there. It was in Marysville, that large log cabin structure that had the stories attached. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got one for you. I was talking to someone from Marysville, and they addressed that structure, and they said it must be haunted. And I asked, what makes you say that? And they said, because long before that structure was built, it was a vacant lot, and there was a house built on it, and all sorts of horrible things took place. I think it was a cult thing. The house finally got destroyed, and then years later, that restaurant was built there. And so she's saying what you're saying, that it was the land, that's what's going on, regardless of what was built on top of it.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, and that's like our house in Puyallup that we had built.
Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah.
The land, it was an ancient Puyallup tribal burial ground. Yeah. And so it came with the land. Now, there's another way to look at this. People will buy a house, and the house has the hauntings going on. It can be that not the land, not that it came with the land, it can be that there's some things that went on in that house in the past, and the ghost hasn't left or doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
It's haunting who's there.
Yeah, the person that owned the house could have died there and decided they want to stay there.
So it can come with the land, it can come with the house, or it can come with the people, or it can all of a sudden come to the people because they do something now that it's attracting mm-hmm. Them. But here's a fifth one that'll really blow your mind. And we like antique stuff, some of it, and we'll go to a place and we'll do some antique buying once in a while. We've collected, but
I bought Skip
objects. Yeah. Objects that you buy can come with something attached to them. Yes. So people need to clear them when you before you bring them in the house. When you move to a new house or a new apartment, cleanse it, clear it, do an energetic cleansing or clearing.
Yep.
So And even if you buy some land and you're not going to use it, just going to go clear it.
Yeah.
Because there's things that come with it that you don't, and it'll end up messing with you or other people, and you don't want that to happen.
I once
those
went,
are usually
I once
those
went
are
to
usually
a thrift
negative things.
Excuse me.
No, that's okay.
I once went to a thrift store to donate, and this family was looking at the stuff in the back of my pickup. And I said, would you just like to take it? They had me swear up and down that, to my knowledge, none of it was haunted, that none of it was involved in a heinous crime or anything. And once I convinced them to that, only then would they take it. They were very grateful, but they were abiding what you're telling us right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And see, they probably had experiences with that.
It could be.
In some respect. And they figured out, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it the right way. We don't want things that have possessions to it or haunted, or as you say.
Well, you know, cars can even be haunted.
Sure.
How do I want to say this? Skip's father gave our son on his 16th birthday a car that he had.
It was an old a 69 Dodge Dart.
Yeah.
And it was mint condition.
Mint condition. So Joey drove it fine. Skip drove it fine. I got in to drive it. The damn thing wouldn't work.
It wouldn't start?
It would not work for me. It didn't like me. Every time I got in it, I couldn't drive it. But Skip and Joe did fine. So apparently whoever owned that car didn't like women in it driving the car.
Yeah.
That's the story about James Dean's car, the one he died in. Uh-huh. They had that on tour because for the accident it was in, it was salvageable, but owner after owner had horrible luck. At one time, they had the car displayed. It just fell apart. The whole thing did. Oh, and here was manufactured. You could drive it. People who owned it couldn't sell it. They would give it to somebody, and somebody took it somewhere, and they dismantled it, and they're not going to tell you where it is. In the haunted museum at Zach Biegun's in Vegas, which I went to, they have the differential there. They said this is the only known piece of that car. But it's what you're saying. There is something about it. And also, yes. But
they can attach to anything.
Now, when I drove long haul and I made the decision to sacrifice long haul to get back into my life, because driving long haul was everything. Or I get everything else, the senior citizens, doing shows with you two. So I picked the better half. That truck that I was driving, they wanted me to sign with the company and get the bonus. I didn't. I heard within myself, get out, get out. It was a hollow, echoing command. It kept saying that over and over when I pulled the truck up after I made my decision to hand the keys over. I'm going to get back into my regular life. But there was something about that truck encouraging me to throw in the towel, go away. And I talked to my mom about it, and she knew exactly what I was talking about. Mom's intuition. She had that sixth sense working for her. And she says, you followed the right command.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the whole key to this whole thing. When you're talking about psychic mediumship, metaphysical, whatever, you've got to be open enough that when those signs and signals came through, you pick up on them.
You look at them, listen to them.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were just ignored that.
Our friend Richard, he and I went to Eastern Washington, and he had it all mapped out. We saw five or six ghost towns, incredible cemeteries. He pulled me aside, and he said, you're no longer a kid in a candy store. You pay respect here. Here's the holy water. He held hands. We pray. He says, we get permission. You just don't trounce around like that. They let you get away with it up to this point because they know that you didn't mean to be malicious in any way.
Yeah.
But you are now that I'm pointing it out. But he was straight and to the point. And from that point forward, I had the proper protocol, the proper manners.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to treat them with respect. Don't go in there and start screaming and yelling and tipping over tombstones and headstones. You don't do that.
He and I went to a haunted pizza place in Anacortes, and the people on the strip said the most haunted place is that restaurant right there because it used to be a mortuary, especially the top. But we went there. When we left, he started to dance around, move that. He did something, and he says, good, it's not attached anymore. What are you talking about? I'll explain it to you later. But he's keen about this, as you two know. You've known him for years.
Oh, yeah.
He knows this business, this culture. He knows this culture very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, and back to the topic of possessions, we have people contact us and say, I think my grandson's possessed, my my granddaughter, my daughter is doing this and that, and I think she's possessed. The house has is possessed. It's got ghosts living in it, and it's being mean, and it's all these different things are happening. We used to go and we would clear them. Okay, we would do that with people and with their house. We stopped doing that because it's just we're no spring chickens anymore, and it takes toll on you. So we're just not going to do that. But if people realize that something like that is going on, you need to contact somebody who can put you in the right, put that in the right light, and put you in connection with somebody who does that. And just don't let it go on. Don't leave thinking, oh, I'll just move and it won't bother me anymore.
Yeah, because
they can follow you. Yeah. Once they find you and you're like the one they want to be with, they can follow you. So having a ghost around you, yeah, is like when we go on a ghost hunt.
We all have ghosts
around.
It's
not an attachment unless it's trying to mess with you. So there's an attachment, and then there's an actual possession.
Yeah.
And that's something that people don't want to get into. And anybody that thinks it's funny, I seriously recommend that you watch the movie. If you think you can handle it, you watch The Exorcist.
I can't watch.
And it's from the 70s, yeah. Late 70s, because that movie, I'm not saying it was true story, but
it is a true story.
It's a true reenactment
yeah.
of the story. Mm-hmm. And it's not something people can handle.
No, yep. When that movie was being filmed, all sorts of things happened on the set. Et cetera, yeah. et cetera. It's something. Well, once again, we had an hour fly by super fast.
Oh, shoot.
Which means we're going to be having you two back again. Trust me. And on behalf of KKNW, the Manson Mitchell Show, Gary and Suzanne are so elated, so happy you made it back. Once again, how can the public get in touch with you two?
Okay. The website is psychicspectrum.com. Sharon and I do readings. We do Talking to the Other Side. We do 17 other events each month.
Do we do parties?
We do parties. We will speaking engagements. We're going to be the featured speakers for John Curley's St. Jude auction that's coming up. And there's a lot of ways to do it. But can I throw something back at you?
Please.
How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, because you got some really astounding books out there.
That is it. MattShayBooks.net. Free audiobook, other free stuff, and a lot of KKNW and Skip and Sharon stuff. Thank you, and until we meet again.
Happy birthday, Suzanne.
Happy birthday, Suzanne, and thanks to Gary and Suzanne for having us do this with you. We enjoy what they call us, the fearsome threesome or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And everyone have a wonderful weekend.
Here's what's coming up next week on Manson Mitchell.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed Jeffrey Mark, the walking encyclopedia of Hollywood, with his revelations of how smash hits on Broadway were successfully recreated for the silver screen.
On Saturday, Nicole Strickland, Marie D. Jones, and Denise Agnew discuss Women on the Fringe, their book about the challenges that women face in the field of paranormal research.
Bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk AM 1150.